Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Stenhoff?
Here.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Ms. Denton?
Present.
And Dr. Rates?
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
All right, thank you. And thanks everybody for coming today. Staff, again, incredible amount of work and done very well and made the reviewers' jobs a lot easier. Committee members, thank you for the efforts you're doing in addition to your day jobs. So appreciate that. And then members of the community and people that are online, thanks for coming. And it shows the importance of the work that that the state is doing for protection for the community. And so I appreciate you guys coming here. So let's move on to agenda item number 4, approval of minutes. Let's see. Can we bulk do those? Oh, no, there were some recusals. So let's just go item by item. August 27th, 2021, regular session minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Rates. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chair,
I think the issue is that Tisha and I have some recusals on the actual meeting minutes, and so it would be preferred if you guys I believe we can vote Ms. Galvin or Ms. Pacman, you can clarify. We just shouldn't be the ones making the motions or the second.
Okay, so Dr. Rates, there's a motion out, Dr. Rates, and then Dr. Davey. Dr. Davey, can I get a second for you on the regular session minutes?
I will second. Sorry, I had to go out and had a sneezing attack, and I did not want to do that on screen. So yes, I will second.
Thank you. All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next item is August 27th, 2021, Executive Session Minutes, Part 1. Do I have a motion to approve?
Dr. Stenhoff, I am recused from this item.
Thank you, Dr. Davis-Wilson.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Dr. Rates. Do I have a second?
I will second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. August 27th, 2021, Executive Session Minutes, Part 2. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I will second.
All right, thank you. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? All right, motion carries. Okay, agenda item number 5. Discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding complaints and recommendation of the board. Complaint number 2021 with Ryan Glasgow. Dr. Rates, you are the lead on this. I'm going to read a brief statement before we move into that, though. A person or representative of a person who has filed or received a complaint and who is present may make a brief statement up to 5 minutes to the committee. The committee may also have questions for those who speak. Please use only initials for patients, children, and the complainant. Be aware that the content of the records involved in these complaints is confidential and the content should be discussed in a public meeting or should not be discussed in a public meeting. Be advised that the committee may go into executive session upon a vote of a majority of the quorum to discuss any confidential records or to receive confidential legal advice from the board's attorney. For those in attendance, please be aware that the chair reserves the right to change the order of the items on the agenda based upon parties present and request to speak. So the complaint is listed as number 2021 against Mr. Ryan Glasgow. Dr. Rates, would you please provide the committee with an overview of the case since you're the lead?
Yes, thank you. So this complaint was the result of a self-report ethical violation. The complaint has cited possible ethical code violations along with some statute violations, all stemming from an incident related to unprofessional conduct, possible multiple relationships. In the report, the individual has explained that poor judgment was a part of this. And I think it's important to note that the individual has also indicated that they have self-reported to the BACB and that that has been resolved.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Reitz. Okay. All right. Mr. Glasgow, I see you are present. Would you please speak up, state your full name for the record? This is your opportunity to make a brief statement to the committee. This time, you have up to 5 minutes. The committee may also ask questions for you following the statement. So, Mr. Glasgow, if you have a statement to make, please go ahead.
Hello, I'm Ryan Glasgow. First of all, just, you know, thanks for having me today. And I did self-report this complaint against myself because I did realize the ethical ramifications to some of my actions. A personal relationship with a coworker had developed, and against my better judgment, I did not take the proper steps to stop it or disclose it to my workplace. And there was company chatting used for this personal relationship. So, you know, although it occurred within about a 24-hour period, I definitely learned a lot from this situation. I was let go from my job, and I realized that the best thing for me to do was let the licensing board know as soon as possible and let the BACB know as well. Because if there's any way that I can sort of deem any of my actions, I'd like to do that. I'm still first year BCBA, so I realized that this could have huge ramifications for my career moving on. And it was very scary situation for me. So I realized the extent of my actions and the implications they could have. So I did manage to find new employment. I let them know about the situation, that I did self-report to both entities, and they still took me on their team, which I am grateful for. So here I am. I'm here to answer any questions that you guys might have about the situation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Glasgow. Any questions from the committee?
Dr. Sinoff, this is Diane. I apologize. I don't have my camera on. I have one question for Mr. Glasgow. It appears in the letter that you wrote to us that this was a quick onset, single kind of incident situation. However, the content of the chats themselves could lead one to believe that potentially this wasn't just a, hey, this started 2 days ago and now we're having this conversation. Can you speak a little bit to that? And then also, kind of in addition to that, it's also noted that you may have actually kind of advocated for this client to, or this colleague to come on some of your cases, and that it appears that the company viewed that as coming from you and not necessarily like just a staff call out. Can you speak to a couple of those inconsistencies?
Definitely. So to touch on your first point where I may have advocated, or there's more to the conversation than it just being like a one-off thing. Obviously we work together, and she wasn't on my clients previously, but I was getting my licensing hours. So I was working as an RBT for a while. So we shared a client there. So we had met before, and we both have interests in motorcycles and things like that. So we talked about those types of things. And I had previously been on like online dating profiles, and I had talked to someone that she knew on there. So that kind of led to like, hey, like, how are you? And this person that I know. And that's how the conversation started to lead to this situation. So that was kind of like the opening in. And from there, it led to, we should all be friends and hang out. And I had been like, I don't know, like, that's a good idea and things like that. But eventually it led to, okay, fine. And then she gave me her personal phone number. And that's where the situation escalated from there. As far as me advocating for her to be on my clients, that was immediately like before this situation. That's actually why we were talking on that chat that day, is because I had a client that had their RBT. It was their only RBT, and they had one pretty much kind of just taken right out from under them. So I was really looking to get an RBT on that case, and she had messaged me and said, hey, I'm available these dates and times. So I had emailed my supervisors to see if she could be on the case, but that was how we started talking that day. And then that led to, hey, let's talk about other things and let's be friends, and maybe we can share each other's personal phone numbers from there. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Thank you. I just wanted a little bit of clarification on that. And I think my other question just goes to, you know, some of the chatting and the conversations occurred while you were with a patient. So seemingly billing insurance, potentially, that obviously that's going to be problematic. I believe the company did rectify that. But I guess my question for you is, I would just like to hear kind of your perspective, perhaps what you've learned, or in retrospect, kind of what your thoughts are around the implications that can come from such behavior while you, one, are responsible for working with a client, but two, may also be billing an entity for services.
Yeah, so I was currently doing telehealth supervision when the chat started. And I realized that is just, you know, basically just an awful thing to do. And it could have, you know, huge implications. You know, there's insurance fraud. If I'm, you know, I go about personal business while I say that I'm billing for a client. And then it's just unethical to not be totally, you know, 100% in your supervision session when you're overseeing an RBT with a client. You should be watching that the whole time, like, you know, giving feedback and all the things that you do that are entailed in supervision. Obviously, I wasn't doing that if I was, you know, talking to another person about personal affairs. It's safe to say that I'm definitely ashamed of, you know, all of this. I don't have any real excuses for it. I know that it was totally wrong of me to do. And that's what led me to do the self-complaint as well, because, you know, I learned that it's not worth my career and the well-being of my clients as well to receive lesser quality supervision just for, you know, a personal encounter like that. Like I said, it was a big scare for me. And I definitely, it's just kind of silly and not worth it at all.
Are there any further questions, Mr. Glasgow?
I didn't have any questions.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Okay, let's move on to deliberation. The committee will now begin their deliberation. Note that the deliberation is a time for the committee members to deliberate the case among themselves without interruptions from complainants, licensees, or representation for the licensees. Dr. Reid, since you're lead on the case, would you please begin the deliberations for us?
Yes. So, I think it's very clear that there were some serious misjudgments and missteps in this situation. I think it's important to point out that it was reported to all of the appropriate places. And I think that the documents that were submitted by Mr. Glasgow show, similar to what he said here today, that he has learned from this, understands the ramifications of these actions. And again, important to note that this did stem from a self-report, and I think it's really important that that was followed and that he did do that quickly.
Yeah, I agree. I think the steps, inappropriate, initially the action itself, but the steps that were taken to rectify the situation with both the BACB and the Arizona Psych Board, I think shows movement or intent to try to fix the situation so any other comments for this?
No, I would just Mr. Chair, I would just add that after the fact, after the incident, which I think Mr. Glasgow has showed remorse for and appropriate action following, his actions afterwards showed that he recognizes the gravity of the situation, magnitude of the situation, self-reporting. Not only did he learn through the lessons related to that, but then also making sure that he notifies the board of change of employment or change of address within 30 days. All of these things are difficult lessons for anyone, but that particularly if someone was newly licensed. And so I think his character in terms of kind of after the facts is showing that this individual is not a threat to the public, is not a threat to any sort of safety, and therefore I would make a motion that this be dismissed.
Okay. All right, so we have Dr. Davis Wilson.
Yeah, Dr. Sinofa, or Dr. Davey, I would ask for maybe a friendly amendment to propose a letter of concern. I understand the rationale as behind the recommendation of a non-disciplinary action, but had they not gotten caught, we would have been looking at an insurance fraud issue. We would have been looking at a service delivery issue. So I think it goes beyond just the character of the individual. And I agree with everything everybody has said. I appreciate him coming forth. I appreciate the way he's handled it. The documentation's clear. All of that is great. But I'm looking at the bigger picture of our role in protecting the public. And I do think that that lapse of judgment is challenging. So that would just be my request, is potentially to consider that.
Dr. Davis Wilson, I'm going to respectfully reject your amendment. The individual's texting that spans over a couple of minutes, I do not see as something that warrants that letter of concern. I understand where you're going with the insurance fraud, but it's not like he was working for 4 hours, not in front of a child, and doing something that is so far removed from that. I'm having a hard time equating something that occurred in a 24-hour period to a letter of concern, something that was brought forward. Agreed, maybe, if it's not disclosed, maybe we never know about this, maybe it never comes to us. But I am not inclined to kind of play those what-if games in this situation. So I don't see this rising to that. I see this being an HR matter that they handled, and that the BACB has looked at, and this is a young BCBA who's going to learn from this and hopefully talk to others about this and help move us down the right path.
And would the committee care to receive legal advice? And as a reminder, we don't have a second to the motion to dismiss.
But we haven't really had a chance for anybody to make that second. So, but if you're suggesting to go, I'll go ahead and interrupt my motion and ask for legal advice. If we could go into executive session for the purpose of receiving executive or legal advice.
All in favor, move to executive session, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, so at this point, there is a motion to dismiss Dr. Davey. Where do we stand on that motion this time?
I'm just going to let it be. So if there's no second, it can die.
Any seconds?
I second.
Let's see.
Perhaps it would be a good idea in this case to do a roll call vote. Yeah.
So the motion is to dismiss. That's the first and the second, and I agree with the suggestion for a roll call.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do a roll call real quick here. Dr. Stenhoff?
Nay.
Okay. Dr. Davis Wilson?
No.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Ms. Denton?
No.
Dr. Rates?
Yes.
Okay. Motion fails.
So are we ready for a new motion?
Yes.
I'll move the complaint 21-28 be moved to the board with a recommendation to issue Mr. Glasgow a non-disciplinary letter of concern. And I'll specify my concerns and an order of continuing education as well. And so concerns are around dual relationships, supervisory activities, further in terms of some continuing ed, and I'm open to discussions with the rest of the committee members, probably around best supervision practices of RBTs, as well as perhaps some ethics around dual relationships. And
I'm good.
So I think, you know, a course of each would be fine at this particular point.
I'm going to ask for a second, and then we'll discuss. Do we have a second?
I will second that.
And Dr. Davey, just to clarify for your motion, is there a certain amount of hours you think would be acceptable for him to complete?
I think that's kind of the discussion now with the committee.
Okay.
Comments on that? Okay. I would propose a letter of concern outlining the concerns. I'm not convinced that further continuing ed hours, unless that is a requirement, needs to be done. I think because of where things are, you know, we were borderline dismissing as a committee. But I think because of the feedback that we've gotten from Mr. Glasgow and the information we have, I'm not sure that continuing ed is actually necessary in this case.
Dr. Stenhoff, I would agree. I think from what we've heard today, I don't get a sense that Mr. Glasgow needs additional information or guidance on where those missteps were and what should have happened and what should not have happened. So I agree. I don't know that the addition of continuing ed is necessary, but would support a letter of concern, again, ensuring that it's clear that we are concerned about the missteps that were taken and the implications that that could have.
If that is a friendly amendment, I'd be happy to accept that from either Dr. Stenhoff or Dr. Rates.
I can make that friendly amendment.
And committee members, as part of that letter of concern, will they want to include the importance of notifying the board of address change as required in statute?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Oh, sorry, Doctor. Okay, any further discussion?
I'm in agreement with the no need for continuing education. I was thinking of classes that would be pertinent, and I agree. I think that the letter of concern would suffice. We do have the original motion has been amended, so you might want to check with your second to make sure that she's in agreement with the amendment as well.
Okay.
I'm in agreement with the amendment. Should we have moved forward with that? I was hoping that we could have some time to consider what courses might be appropriate. And looking through that, I'm in agreement with you, Diana. I'm not sure which ones necessarily would go there. I'm also in agreement with you, Dr. Rates. Whenever you look through and see that the intent of said courses would be to educate, and it does appear that Mr. Glasgow has done some initiative taking to educate himself.
Okay, so we have the motion on the table. Do we have any further discussion? And the friendly amendment, do we have any further discussion? Okay, let's put it to a vote. Ms. Galvin, would it be appropriate to do another roll call vote?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ms. Michelson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So the motion is to forward the case to the board with a letter of concern. Okay. Dr. Stenhoff?
Yes.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Davey?
Yes.
Ms. Denton?
Yes.
Dr. Rates?
Yes.
Okay, the motion does carry. And just for the committee and Mr. Glasgow's reference, this will be reviewed by the board at its next meeting, which is next Friday on October 1st. So Mr. Glasgow, I will be sending you a notification in the near future by email.
One thing, Ms. Galvin, on future applications to the board for renewal, will this be something that is checked in the affirmative for Mr. Ryan? And if so, we need to become aware of that. Can you comment on that?
Generally, a question is asked if a complaint has been filed against you since your last renewal. That's a similar question to what Arizona asks, and that would be required as affirmative because complaint has been filed. It depends on the wording of a subsequent question about whether you've been disciplined or received any sort of what the adjudication was. And I can't provide advice on that unless we have the question in front of us. He may wish to seek counsel of his, you know, peers when that time comes or with his insurance carrier.
Yeah. But the point being that he should attend to those questions carefully when reapplying.
As always, yes.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. And Mr. Glasgow, I appreciate you coming to make your statement and address our questions. And I know probably uncomfortable, but it is important for you to be here, and I appreciate you taking the time to do that. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you all for your time.
Hey, agenda item number 6, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding recommendation of the board pertaining to approval of behavior analyst applicants. First application is Nicole Steele. I request that we go to executive session or make a motion to go to executive session for legal advice. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. So just a quick review. If you all want further information, let me know. But there was a second formal additional information request dated August 2nd, 2021 to Ms. Steele, requesting more information. We got We got more information regarding the verification forms, and there has been a limited availability of the forms from supervisors. So we've had some discussion about what can we accept given these extenuating circumstances, and what we have before us, at least in my documentation and board staff, I might ask for further information. But what I would consider, and you know, of course, the committee members would have to agree with this, is taking the existing documents and figuring out the difference between, and again, some more backstory that one of her supervisors, Ms. Ism, was not licensed in the state of Missouri at the time of supervision, which is a requirement by this Missouri law. So there were about approximately 2 months in which Ms. Ism was signing verification forms in which she was not licensed. So given that, we have some forms before us that indicate how many hours that Ms. Steele received total. And then we also have hours that were approximated that Ms. Ism or that were computed that Ms. Ism provided during those 2 months in which she was not licensed. What I have, though, is I have documents that indicate 1,707.57 hours, which can be found on page 9 of the application, the PDF. I also have 1,500 hours on page 81 of the document. And then there's another one that is 1,500.13 hours on page 77. And so given that, I know we requested from Ms. Ism clarification or acceptance of the current hours. Which of those would be the correct document from which to subtract the 187 hours that we computed that Ms. Ism provided to Ms. Steele during that time in which Ms. Ism was not licensed?
Mr. Chair, this is Kathy.
Yeah, Ms. Hopes.
I just want to confirm that I did hear from Ms. Ism, and she did confirm that the monthly experience forms are true and correct.
Okay, monthly forms are true and correct. And so,
is that 39 where those start? Those are the BACB monthlies you're talking about now. Is that correct?
Ms. Fox?
Yes, it's the BACB, the monthly experience verification forms.
39 in the PDF for those following along at home.
Thanks, Dr. And so given that, if we were to take the total hours based on that, which of those documents would align with either the 17 that I'm giving change 1700 hours or the 1500 hour verification forms? So I'm going to back up. Did Miss Ism indicate which of the forms would state the correct hours? I know there's the monthly verification forms, but is there a final verification form that Ms. Ism would say, yes, that is the total, or are we left to compute those hours during that time, during that 2 months?
Kelsey sent an email confirming the monthly experience verification forms. Mm-hmm. And so she said those were correct, and those accounted to the 1,498.73 hours.
Would you repeat that again?
Yes. Ms. Isom confirmed the monthly experience verification forms by email, and those hours came to 1,498.73.
So that's what Ms. Isom indicated total.
Yes.
So given that, we have a deficit of about 1.75 hours, which seems small. But in addition to that, the 187 hours that Ms. Isom provided, Ms. Malice, is that figure, the 1,400 and change figure that you provided, is that excluding the 187 hours that were provided over the course of those months in which she was not licensed? Is that accurate?
No, you would have to subtract those hours from that total.
So if that is the case, the total hours that were completed, even with the 187 left in there, do not meet the requirement of the 1,500 hours of supervision hours.
Correct.
My understanding correctly. Okay.
Correct. So if you subtracted the 187 hours from that, then you would get 1,311.73 hours.
Okay. So I'm a little confused on this because the verification form that was initially provided to the BACB to become a BCBA has been around 1,700 hours, if I remember correctly. Scrolling down to the actual page just to make sure that I wrote it down on my notes correct. Almost there, guys. Sorry.
This is super easy to follow.
Okay. So I'm looking at page 77 of the PDFs. And the final verification form submitted to the BACB was 1,500 hours with Ms. Isom's signature affirming that that documentation. Then Ms. Isom in the more recent email indicated that only 1,498.73 are written, not indicated, but reported that only those were the only hours that Ms. Steele got. So we're even with the latitude of subtracting hours, if it's the 1,500 hours, even so, with the 187 hours that Ms. Isom provided, the applicant is still short hours. Am I understanding that correctly? Let me do numbers or am I missing something that, as far as you can see? Okay. So okay, so with the math that we were given and I looked at, it appears that so it looks like there's a deficit. If we subtract the 187 hours from the 1,498.73 hours, with the latitude of accepting what Ms. Ism approved, it appears that there's a deficit of 188.27 hours. And the way I got to that was I took the number, the 1,000 or the 1,400 and change with the subtraction of 187 hours. And then the difference between that and 1,500, I get 188.27 hours.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I am coming up with roughly the same number as you. I think I'm off a little bit where the decimal is concerned, but okay. That your figure is very, very close to mine, if that's okay. Helpful.
Okay, so because of the circumstances and the difficulty that there has been to get the information from the supervisor, in this case, I would make a motion to get, well, first of all, get an accurate in Ms. Galvin, if there's something illegal or that I'm proposing, please speak up. But I would make the proposal that, or make a motion that I don't know what the right word would be, but essentially get the 188 point whatever hours it is, and we can get a final count on that, allow for that, but to apply or put on hold the application until the applicant can get those additional hours.
Yeah, and I would just add to that based on the confusion, anyone that supervised her, I think we need a list and the time frame so we can align not only their zona licensure, but also their ability to supervise per BACB guidelines. Like, part of it, we need to have that understanding as well.
Well, and Dr. Davey, this the applicant received her hours in Missouri, and just to clarify, so in the state, yeah, absolutely, we have to have that information exactly where it is, and Ms. Steele is currently residing in Arizona now, so obviously the supervision would have to be by an Arizona licensed grant officer.
Thank you. And thank you for clarifying my statement on the go forward basis.
Okay. So that was a pretty chunky motion there, but is there any other thoughts from committee members or some ideas of how we might be able to move forward and help Ms. Steele move forward too with this process?
My only thought and maybe consideration in the motion and or direction of where we send staff, I'm still concerned about the lack of correspondence from the supervisors. And I'm concerned that we have reason to believe that Missouri does require licensure for those supervision practices. And there were 2 months in which licensure did not happen. So I would just add in that that perhaps we notify the BACB of our concerns regarding the difficulty in obtaining documentation from the supervisors, and then also potentially send our concerns to the Missouri Licensing Board about the 2 months that licensure was not existent when supervision had occurred. And the reason why I'm suggesting this is because this, for Ms. Steele, this has been a long, drawn out process. And she moved to Arizona under the impression that she'd be able to get licensed. She was certified. I get that. I understand that just because you come to Arizona doesn't entitle you to being certified. But I still hesitate in two things. One, had she stayed in Missouri for a year under their licensure and then came over, we wouldn't have this issue. But that's a different topic. And then two, I don't think that this in and of itself is a reflection of Ms. Steele not understanding standards. I think that there's a lot of different moving pieces. And I think to some degree, the supervisors, if this were a supervisee of mine, I would be here coaching them through it, acknowledging and admitting that maybe I made a mistake. I would be trying to figure out a way to connect them with other resources to rectify it. And I'm concerned about the behavior of the supervisor. So I just wanted to add that in as part of the consideration. I know our hands are tied and we've got to figure out a way again to kind of recommend that she obtain those hours and then come back to the board with that information. But I don't want to forget the supervisors here also putting up a barrier.
Dr. Davis Wilson, your point is very well taken. Dr. Davey.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with Dr. Davis Wilson on this. This is Ms. Steele is being unfairly penalized by her supervisors not responding to our request for clarification and documentation, which is a direct violation of BACB guidelines, where they must be responsive to local, state, government jurisdictions. That includes us as a licensing board. And I, for one, am to the point of, if this needs to be escalated to a complaint to the BACB to get them to move, then I would be open to that.
Is there any other, so let's focus on Ms. Steele specifically. Is the course of action that I propose, does anybody see a better way to expedite that process? I think given the documentation we have that outlining or informing of how many more supervised hours are necessary, for licensure, does anybody see, or is there another possibility to do that? I don't see one, but based on statute.
I agree. I think the options before us would be to present another fair letter and give her the opportunity to obtain those hours and come forth, or give her the option to withdraw her application and reapply when those hours are done. But I agree. I there's not much more we can do about that.
Okay. Mr. Chair, staff is having a conversation about the length of time that would be afforded to her by virtue of our timeframes. And it seems that there is a pretty adequate amount of time where through another fair, through extensions and so forth, she could potentially have through or much of December to complete the deficit of hours. So that seems like more than an adequate amount of time, depending on the circumstances, the arrangements, you know, when she can secure supervision and so forth.
So do we need to have the absolute number here, or can board staff determine that in the additional information request?
I think board staff, based upon your calculations, staff's calculations, it sounds like we're talking about maybe tenths of an hour.
Yes.
Staff can communicate that to her. And I believe Ms. Steele is present, and I don't know if you want to give her the opportunity to you know, contribute or say anything, because I know this has been a long road.
Ms. Steele, would you like to make a comment?
I'm really sad and shocked by the numbers that have been presented today. I actually went through the tracker with the last submission and went through every hour that I've done in the supervision with Misty and Justin and Kelsey. And if the 30-hour per week limit wasn't applied, and I don't know if that applies to Arizona laws, like there is 1,700 hours. And so the discrepancy in the number may truly be me just not understanding Arizona law and not having somebody to coach me through that. As you guys have mentioned, I understand where you're coming from, but not working in the field and not having a supervisor with my pending contract to get those remaining 188 hours is going to be difficult, because that means I'm going to have to go to a different company when I'm contracted in with the company that I moved here for. So that puts me in a really challenging position. I was hoping that if there was a deficit, that there was maybe a possibility for me to do continuing education courses throughout this licensing cycle, or additional ones that I could get those hours and still be able to take this job opportunity and do what I came to Arizona to do.
The documentation that Ms. Ism approved, which because the issues with her licensure in the state of Missouri, and the documentation she approved, our hands are tied as well, to the extent that we are, according to her, there was a deficit even in the signed documentation that she provided the BACB. I'll say it a little different. It conflicts, right? So the documentation that she approved of that 1,400 hours does not correspond with the documentation we have from the BACB.
I'm confused, because the documentation that I submitted to the BACB that's signed by Kelsey actually does total to 1,500 hours. So I'm shocked to hear that too. I'm sad to hear that, that my supervisors are submitting documentation that doesn't align with what we signed and submitted to the board, that's saved in my PDFs on my computer. And I'm sad. I don't really know what else to say.
Any other comments from the committee? Exactly, Dr. Davey.
Ms. Galvin, anything you see, any other angles for us?
I do not, unfortunately, and it is a very unfortunate event, but the times that I have conferred with staff and reviewed the matter, I agree with the direction that the committee is headed. Unfortunate set of circumstances.
Yeah. Okay. So then I make a motion that additional information requests be sent indicating the exact hours needed to move forward with the application. Do I have a second on that?
It's Dr. Davey, I'll second.
Okay. Favor say aye.
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 Opposed? I know we will come back and talk about this, but and it's been alluded to, but I believe that we should as a committee or the board should reach out to the BACB and possibly the Missouri Licensing Board for further discussion with them. We can talk about that later on when we talk about future items.
Yeah, and future items that we put, would we put the possibility of, like, to review the possibility of either moving to file a complaint in different jurisdictions or with different bodies? Would that be the agenda item we're thinking?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to actually ask Ms. Galvin's opinion if it is, maybe it isn't premature for the committee to give some of that direction to board staff.
I agree. I don't think it needs to be put on a future agenda. I think you can make that determination now as part of your consideration of this case. And secondly, may I clarify your motion? There was discussion by the committee that Ms. DeWitt also have the opportunity to withdraw her application if she desired.
Thank you, Ms. Gowan. Okay, then I also want to make a motion, or if I need to, that a formal complaint be filed against the BCBA to the BACB, and also that the Missouri Licensing Board be contacted about the conduct as well. Moving forward with that as well. Do we need to have a motion on that?
Yes, please. And could we have the names of the supervisors so there's no mistake?
Yeah. So Supervisor 1 is Misty Oppenheim Leaf. Supervisor 2 is Justin Leaf. And Supervisor 3 is Kelsey Ism.
I will second that motion.
And then, okay, yeah. I'll leave it there.
Unless you have any more.
No, no. It was just retribution, so I want to hold that. So.
Hold your tongue.
So do we have a second on that?
Yes, I second it.
Okay, any discussion?
Dr. Stenhoff, I just have one quick point I want to make. I don't know if it'd be possible if board staff, I know we kind of had a starting list of potential kind of practice monitors. We're not assigning a practice monitor in this situation, but I wonder if it would be helpful for Ms. Steele if we provided her a list of some licensed supervisors that may be willing to work with her, perhaps even her employer, to see if they can continue to supervise her in the site, in her actual site. It might be worth exploring, and she's new to the state, so perhaps we can provide her a list of supervisors to at least reach out to and speak to. And I believe, I don't think she's on. We did have a representative from the Professional Association, but that could also potentially be an avenue to see if the Professional Association has any resources to support the licensee, the applicant as well.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Davis-Wilson, I think the latter of the two suggestions is probably the one that is, you know, most practical. I can supply AZ ABBA with the notes or the audio of this meeting and this conversation and see if they can't, through their network, see if, you know, someone is willing to step up and, you know, provide that bridge, if you will, for Ms. Steele to complete her deficit hours.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We've had the vote, so we'll move on to the next agenda item.
I don't think we've been a vote. I agree. I don't think there's a vote.
Okay. Let's start any discussion. I know we had a second, correct?
We do.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? Further discussion, I guess we have been discussing. Okay, then all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you, Dr. D. Motion carries. Okay. Let's see. Next application for review is Madison Williams. Dr. Reyes, you're reviewing that. And then I would like to hold up just one second. Can we omit Dr. Davey from this discussion at this point? Not that he's recused, but he does need to jump off round 11 just in case it goes over. Do we need to formally address that?
No, we can just let the record reflect that he's left the meeting at 11.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, Dr. Reid, sorry about that.
Yeah, so I'll be reviewing this applicant. This was a follow-up after a letter. We requested additional information from the applicant related to hours that were accrued. Specifically, we asked for a breakdown of hours that were non-client facing. The applicant did return that information and was very detailed in that. So what I'd like to do is quickly go over the applicant's information as we normally would, and then I will discuss the additional information that came just to refresh the committee's memory. So the applicant before us was certified as a VCBA in May of 2021, also indicated that she's licensed as in special education. She did answer yes to question 12, stemming from an incident in 2012. That's resolved and met all requirements, no other reports since. The applicant received the MA in special education at ASU in 2019, and then a certificate in positive behavior supports from NAU in 2020. In terms of supervision, the breakdown that I'll provide everyone is this: 380 hours have been accrued with a licensed behavior analyst here in the state of Arizona. Additionally, 1,238 hours, all broken down in the documentation that were provided, was non-client facing supervision. And that's further broken down between independent hours and activities, similar to what we discussed when we asked for this information, and then group supervision. So in total, there is 1,618 hours. And as I mentioned, 380 of those are with the current supervisor, who is licensed, Ms. DeRosa, in the state of Arizona and meets the requirements. So I am interested in hearing from my committee members as well. The applicant did provide us with not only the breakdown of all of the hours that were non-client facing, but then additionally provided substantial documentation of those activities to make up those 1,238 hours.
So Dr. Reyes, just to clarify, she has the hours right now.
So. Sorry, can you ask the question again, Dr. Stone?
She has, Ms. Williams has the hours to move ahead at this point, correct? Okay.
She does have the hours. She did break down those non-client facing hours. And again, this stems from a supervision contract with somebody who is not in the state.
Any discussion from committee members? Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Davey.
So I just want to, you know, I'm sorry, I do have to drop off for a personal matter from 11 to 11:15 or 11:20, but, you know, my concern in reviewing all this, you know, with the information that was put back to Dr. Reitz, is not necessarily her hours. I think that part of it is cleaned up and looking like it's going to be met. My concern for the record is that of the supervisors. And I don't know if I'll be around for that discussion, but I just want that noted on the record before I have to drop. And I trust that my committee members will review that and take appropriate action.
Thanks, Dr. Davey.
Thank you, and I'll see you all shortly.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. I do believe that is a later agenda item.
I know, but I just want to
make sure. Just to make sure we, yeah.
Make sure
you're on the record. Okay. Well, go ahead, Dr. Davis.
Well, I'm, and again, I'm kind of strict with how I define supervision, but some of these activities, in my opinion, are not behavior analytic. Attended first aid and CPR, attended a bloodborne pathogen. I think you know, the nature of supervision activities is a supervisee engaging in practice. So listening to podcasts in and of itself don't really count as hours. Now, listening to a podcast and using that information to develop a permanent product, that might look a little bit different. But attending these sorts of trainings, I'm concerned with how some of these hours were counted. And again, perhaps I understand that I'm pretty strict about what hours I allow my students to count, but I also feel that some of these are just simply not behavior analytic.
So I think we could look at some of the ones that you consider questionable. There is an additional, so it's a total of 1,618 hours. So we could certainly look at some of these that you think would not meet those requirements. I think in terms of listening to a podcast and what comes from that, I think we have to be thoughtful of, we don't have the information that happened within some of those meetings. And so it's very likely that that is exactly what happened once a supervision occurred. We can't speak to that. We don't have every single detail in every single document. I think what was provided was pretty comprehensive, but I appreciate your point that you're identifying there may be some things in there that perhaps should not be counted toward those hours. Could always look at further distinction between that, given that there is 118 additional hours over the 1500.
And my only other thought, and I agree, and perhaps it is a non-issue if there's extra hours and whatnot. But my other thought is, and I don't know if this is a supervisor issue or if it falls into kind of some of these hours as well. I continue to be concerned about the fact that the contract says the location of supervision was this school. And yet there's nothing about the experience in the school. And then we're supposed to, or with actual individual patients. And then we're supposed to say, this is sufficient to get licensed because yeah, you role played and you did these things. But we have no idea what this individual's work with actual students and or patients or clients would even look like outside of kind of the role play. And I bring it up under the side of, I completely understand we've got COVID and that may have shifted some things. I get that we do on some occasions, it is sometimes because we, you know, we don't have access to all examples possible to be able to train towards the task list. So I do know that coming up with activities to supplement some of that, but entire supervision period where a contract says, hey, supervision is going to occur at this location, yet there's nothing involving the students for 1500 hours. I don't know if it's more of just my concern. I mean, the hours are completed, the board certified her. So I'm just in this funky boat about it.
I think your point's well taken. I think the challenge we're experiencing is exactly what you articulated. This happened and it was in the midst of COVID when things were shut down and that access to clients was limited for many. So I think perhaps the discussion does need to be, how do we address this moving forward so that there isn't the assumption that something like this would continue to be best practice in terms of supervision?
And I guess my only other question with that would be, to what degree, and I don't know if we have Ms. Williams on the phone, but oh, hi, I see you now.
Hey, hello.
To what degree the school was under the impression that services were to benefit their students, or to what degree what role the school had in this? Because again, the contract says this is your site, but nothing about that includes that. So can you kind of speak to what the school's interpretation of these services were?
Yeah, of course. So just kind of a little background on the school that I have, you know, been at for the last 5 years. The ACES is a self-contained school. So it is a private placement from school districts within Arizona to place kids with disabilities and or emotional disabilities. So the program that I was in was the Rising Stars program. So it is a self-contained classroom with students with autism. To the extent that my school knew exactly what I was doing, I had given them the actual form from Hoom House outlining my curriculum. I also wrote a, in addition to the video request forms that Hoom House, the service that I went through, did, I wrote personalized letters to all the students in my classroom that was reviewed by our owner, Ms. Francie, as well as our chief operating officer, and then the principal on my specific campus. That was sent home with every student that I did work with, and that outlined that we would be using that ABA therapy within my classroom. We would be having one-on-one sessions, and then I only videotaped and worked with those students that I received those, you know, parental confirmation forms. I know that in my this amendment where I sent the additional information, I did not include those videos that were directly with students, but I do have multiple videos of me in person with students doing behavior analytic services pre-COVID, as well as some online services that I was providing during our online telehealth school. For this amendment purposes, I had only included information on those non-client hours, and that's why it kind of says those things like role play or, you know, those kind of services. Also, I would like to point out that I have continued services or continued accruing hours. So for example, like August, I got 130. By the end of September, I'm going to have another 130 with Cheyenne DeRosa. And those are directly to me currently working as an RBT. And she's supervising that kind of portion until we do get this resolved and I can be licensed in Arizona.
Thank you.
All right, so any other discussion from committee members? All right, so I think on this item, I think we need to have a motion to move, a motion to move forward. In either way, move forward without a motion. So, sorry. Do we have a motion?
Can I get one more point of clarification?
You bet.
So, how many total hours were supervised? So we're saying there's, you know, more activities that weren't accounted for. We've got 1,618. That should be applied towards licensure. What was the total number? I don't remember it being.
Remember, that includes new ones she's acquired since we last met. So okay. There are additional hours in that 1,618 that I gave you that were not acquired when last we met.
Perfect. Thank you for that.
Yes.
If I can just speak on that as well, I believe that accumulatively from these hours that I have began acquiring since July, as well as the previous ones, because even when I submitted to the BACB, I was above 1,500. I am close to that 2,000 mark of total hours. Today, what I was, appealing is that all of those group hours were never client related. We were going over different task things, creating mock assignments, things like that. And then my individual time with her was also spent on, not always client related things.
That clarifies for me. Thank you.
So do we have a motion?
I would make a motion that we forward this to the board for review.
All right. For review, Dr. Reitz, for review.
Oh, sorry.
For approval.
No. Thank you for approval.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have a second? Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay. Ms. Williams, thank you for attending, and I believe your attendance here was very helpful to make the committee feel more comfortable about this too, so appreciate taking the time to do that.
Thank you so much. I guess my only question is kind of what happens from here?
Yeah, so it's been recommended to move forward to the board for approval, and then the board will review the application and vote whether you get licensure or not.
Okay, so. What is the time frame on that?
Ms. Pakenham, can you address that question?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. What is it that you need clarification?
She wanted to know, so we recommended it move forward to the board for approval. She was, Ms. Williams was asking what the turnaround would look like for that process approximately.
Oh, I understand. Thank you. So the board will conduct its review on October 1st, and depending on the outcome of that vote, if the outcome is to approve granting the license, you will hear from board staff that we'll need to complete a transaction in the form of you requesting your license and paying the prorated fee, which we determine for you. So we can facilitate that pretty quickly.
And if it is not approved during that vote, when will I hear and what would be my steps moving forward from that?
So board staff will follow up with written notification if the board does not approve it, and then that will be a detailed set of instructions for you in what is called a fair letter.
Okay, thank you so much for that information.
Okay, next item, Darvin Eason, I'm the reviewer for that. I would like to make a motion to move to executive session for legal counsel. Do I have a second on that?
I will second.
Okay, all approved? Aye.
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 Okay, opposed? All right, motion carries. Okay, so this is the application of Darby Nason. Ms. Nason has her BCBA and was awarded that in March of 2021, and she graduated in 2018 from Gonzaga University. There was a first request was sent to her requesting supervision contract and start dates for supervisors, and asked that her former supervisor, Mr. Matthews, who signed off on the agency, would send the documentation to the board for this. Mr. Matthews did follow up with the FAIR. He sent multiple supervisors at one organization for him and a contract reflecting signatures that reflected the dates with each supervisor's licensing. One area of concern that I have is that in the final verification form sent to the BACB, which is found, I believe, on page 19 of the documents, sent by Mr. Matthews, and page 10 and page 9, there's an additional individual on there, Ms. Schwartz, and she is listed on the BACB final verification form found on page 22 of the multiple supervisors document, but not on Mr. Matthews' documentation. I don't know if that's worth pursuing or having a further conversation about, but that was a noted concern that I had reviewing this application. Do any committee members have any other discussion regarding this application? Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I was kind of redoing the math because it appears that it's not just the deletion of an individual, but it does affect the total hours, correct?
We'll check that.
I believe on his multiple supervisor form. So according to his form, it's like 899 hours.
Yes, that's right.
But then on the form sent to...
Who the ACB? Ms. Nason, I noticed you're on the call. Ms. Anderson, in addition to or she one of the group that for the multiple supervisors that was submitted to the BACB?
No, so Melissa Anderson worked for a separate company at Leaps and Beyond. I worked for SOAR for probably a little over a year, year and a half before transitioning to Leaps and Beyond. So she was a separate single supervisor at a different company.
Okay, thank you.
So Mr. Chair, if you look at page 19 on the final form sent to the BACB, it does have Ms. Schwartz listed.
Yes.
And it has the total hours of 1,010 hours, 1,010 hours and 0.75. And then that original form that was signed lists the same thing of the 1,000 hours, but then the updated information is showing that the hours are deficient, right?
Right. But if you take Ms. Anderson's, who was the other supervisor that was outside the company with whom Ms. Nason worked, the total hours come to 1,547.75. So they come to that with the addition. But what you just stated was my concern is that there was a difference between that, between the form submitted to the BACB and then the follow-up information received from Mr. Matthews with the multiple supervisors, the state of Arizona-based form.
Okay.
Ms. Galvin, am I correct in noting that there has been, with the additional follow-up, that documentation could be acceptable?
Yes, you may. You're correct in noting that.
Okay. So with the recent documentation sent by Mr. Matthews, totaling at 899.75, and then in addition to the 648 provided by Ms. Anderson, we have over the number needed and by licensed individuals in the state. We have that documentation. So the concern is the lack of correspondence, but I'm not sure that is.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I guess, so to clarify the record, because there's nothing on the multiple supervisor form that that James Matthews sent in that's like an attestation or signed or anything. All we have is the form that he filled out for the BACB or for the licensure board, which does reflect the different hours. So I think at a minimum, that documentation would need to be revised. So page 20, where it says the 1,010 hours, but that still seems weird to me. Like, I'm still confused then about why the BACB was told this Ms. Schwartz completed hours if Mr. Matthews is saying she didn't.
Well, and interestingly, Mr. Matthews was the individual, I believe, who signed the multiple supervisor verification form that was submitted to the BACB for the initial certification.
Well, I guess, Ms. Nason, for you, can you summarize for us what Ms. Schwartz's role was?
So Ms. Schwartz was a supervisor pursuing her BCBA. And so I did talk with Mr. Matthews about this and going over like the contracts, the final verification form. So she was not providing hours during this time. And so that was an oversight on my part. And so I can send updated forms. I think it was an oversight on both mine and Jim's part. And so the hours sent to you are true and accurate. The hours that were counted for Ms. Schwartz are not counted towards the BCBA and for this state board licensure. So she now is a BCBA, but at time of employment, she was not.
But the verification form that went to the BACB lists her as one of the supervisors.
Yeah, so she was supervising me. She just was not licensed.
Okay, okay, I'm following now.
Yeah, so right. She is not a credentialed BCBA. She was pursuing her BCBA.
And just for the record to clarify, she was a board certified behavior analyst. She was not a licensed behavior analyst.
Yes.
So she was qualified under extended supervision to provide you hours for the purpose of certification. However, her qualifications do not meet the purpose of licensure.
Yes.
However, you have those hours.
Yes. So I did have cases with her probably about a month before leaving the company that under board circumstance, like under board and BCBA, yes, under state licensure and 8-hour supervision credentials do not meet the criterion.
Was she, because even if she was certified but not licensed, that 8-hour supervision requirement is a requirement of the BACB.
Mm-hmm.
Was she being supervised?
She was also being supervised by Jim Matthews. So he is like CEO, founder, and lead of the company. And so he not only supervised the BCBAs of the company, but also those pursuing BBAs and the lead BTs.
So, Mr. Chair, that clears up for me, just on the surface, the concern. I think the issue then is the documentation and making it clear for the record. And I think that could be done with clarification to Mr. Matthews, because it appears that it might just be like the semantics of.
I did. Reach out to Jim and asked, like, followed up with him sending the information. And he did mention in he did mention that in the email he wrote to you, and I think I was attached to it, explaining Holly's role. I don't know if it was done like clearly. He did mention he would like she was a supervisor, just not a credentialed, like not credentialed at that time.
So, concern I have too is okay. Never mind. Okay. So, do we have any further questions or comments on this? Okay. I'll make a motion for this to move forward to the board for approval, contingent on the information being clarified and the documentation to match the hours that were provided. Dr. Davis Wilson, I know you expressed some concern with that. Does that meet?
Yeah, I think, or even just a letter. I know that it appears that they're trying to explain it to us, but the terminology between certification and licensure and credentialing and all of that's getting kind of silly. So I would want to hear from Mr. Matthews that Holly Schwartz was a BCBA eligible to provide supervision towards certification, but was not licensed. And I don't know, even here in Arizona, you have two options. You have the option of being licensed or being supervised by somebody who is licensed for practice. And so I think if that distinction was there, which again, just I don't have Washington's law in front, but it appears that that is what they are trying to convey, is that she was certified, she was eligible to supervise, she supervised for 2 months, she had her 8-hour supervision training, she was eligible for the BACB standards. She was not eligible for licensure standards. I think we just need that clarification to be clear. And then the rest of it's fine. I think the fact that she has more hours that went to the BACB aligns with the standards provided Ms. Schwartz was being supervised. So if they're attesting to the fact that she was not independently practicing without a license, that would cover that.
Yeah. And then the 899.75 on the multiple supervisors at one organization form for the state, Ms. Schwartz is omitted from that. So is it necessary to include her in the discussion at this point, because the hours that we're considering from Mr. Matthews' submission does not include those hours from Ms. Schwartz?
My concern, and Ms. Galvin can chime in, she has her hours and I get that, but we also have evidence in front of us of a discrepancy. And so we would need to have some way to remediate that discrepancy without assumptions. Okay. And what I'm hearing from the applicant is obviously like on the record here, but in the file, if someone else were to look at it and say, oh, here's a discrepancy, I'm not sure that somebody else could come to the conclusion that we're talking about right now. And that's where I think that clarifying that discrepancy, we have the form, we have the version of the form that has her. I think there's just that confusion. I think they're just mixing up, which is common, certification and licensure. And she meets the requirements. If someone looked at the record, they might be like, okay, why was this omitted? And while we understand why it was the second time, it's not clear in the written record.
Okay. Then can I retract my initial motion and then make a motion that we move this forward to the board for approval once received clarification from Mr. Matthews regarding Ms. Schwartz's activities in this? Is that after that? Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would just maybe direct board staff to inform Mr. Matthews that that we just need further clarification on what his statement, his last statement means, because he makes a statement of she was a supervisor, but she was not a BCBA supervisor. And again, this is where people get really confused, because for us, BCBA is a trademark acronym for the BACB. And so as soon as we see someone say, no, no, they're not a BCBA supervisor, it's like, well, wait a second, that's a BACB thing. And now we've got a different kind of road. But if he were to say, yes, she's a supervisor, but she is not an LBA or cannot supervise towards LBA, that's very distinct difference. And so it's we understand the intent of what his message was. I just don't think it's clear. And if he could clarify that, that would be great.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, opposed? Okay. Motion carries. All right. We are at the 2 hour mark. Does anybody need a comfort break?
Yes, please. Okay.
I saw some nods there. All right. So, we'll reconvene at, let's just say, 45. Is that adequate for everybody?
I have one additional question. So am I going to need to reach out to Jim Matthews to give you guys the additional information? Are you going to request it? Is there going to be another fair letter? How will that proceed?
Would one of board staff?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Let me see if this reflects what the committee's direction is. I mean, there's nothing precluding you, Ms. Nason, from reaching out to Mr. Matthews and giving him a heads up that he's going to hear from us in this capacity. So it may even be a good idea for you to do that. But board staff probably on Monday will seek exactly that piece of clarification that the committee directed us to obtain. And then your application could be placed, if we receive it in a timely fashion, could be placed on the October 1 meeting agenda of the board. So it may be that we can pull this together in that time frame. That's completely contingent on his response and whether it clarifies or whether it's received in time. Does the committee agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I will reach out to him today just to give him a heads up that you'll be hearing from him then. Okay, okay.
Thank perfect. You. Thanks for attending and helping us out.
Yeah, I know. I was confused as well when I was meeting with him and going over hours. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So is 45 too soon, or would 50 be a better mark for everybody? 50? Okay. We'll reconvene at 11:50 then.
Yes, Dr. Davey, I will.
Okay. Could somebody say something? Because I'm not sure I can hear anybody else.
Can you hear me?
Good to go. Thank you. All right. Let's move on. Agenda item number, 6A5, Daniel Braun. Dr. Davis Wilson, your lead on that.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Braun became certified in May of 2021. She graduated with a master's in family development at ASU in 2017 and received her PBS certificate from Northern Arizona University in 2018. She completed just over 1,500 hours with a licensed behavior analyst, and I do recommend that her application be forwarded to the board.
All right, thank you. Next application is Jennifer Basilupo. Sorry for the pronunciation. Ms. Den, your lead on that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Jackie Galupo passed her exam in December of 2020. Oh, nope, in May 16th of 2021. And she graduated in December of 2020 with a Master's of Arts in Special Education from Ball State University. She completed her supervision hours under Morgan Brown Chipley at AZA United, who is a licensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona. She received her supervision from April 10th of 2020. The 10th is an important date due to the date of licensure of the supervisor. They coincide until April of 2021. I didn't do this, so give me a moment. Okay. It should be okay. A total of 1,534.5 hours. I was just confirming that that could be done in 12 months. It appears there are no concerns from me about this application, and I would move that it goes to the board for approval.
Thank you very much. Let's see, Aberdeen Avalar, Dr. Reitz, your lead on that?
Yes, so this applicant received their BCBA in July of 2021. They also indicated they are a licensed SLP in the state of Arizona. They completed a master's at Ball State in May of 2021. All supervision was at Ally Pediatric between September of 19 and March of 21 for a total of 2,012 hours. And that was under a licensed behavior analyst here in the state. I didn't see any issue with the application and would recommend that it moves forward to the board for approval.
All right. Thank you very much. Next is Sydney Applewhite. I'm the reviewer for that. Ms. Applewhite received her BCBA certificate in May of 2021. She graduated in June of 2020 from Capella University with a Master's of Science in Psychology and a specialization in Applied Behavior Analysis. She received over 1,800 hours of supervision under multiple supervisors in New Jersey. I did not know any concerns with the application and recommend that report to the board for approval. Okay. Next application is Adriana Quiones. Dr. David, your lead on that.
Ms. Quiones comes forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona, became certified in August of 2021 through the BACB. Individual came from the, did her studying at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, as well as the University of Findlay in Ohio. She graduated with a Master's in the Arts of Psychology. She completed her application in full, listed out that her supervised experience towards licensure and certification in the state of Arizona occurred at the Mel Mid Center under a licensed behavior analyst named Anna Relieve. Application was completed in full, and I move that this go forward for licensure.
All right, thank you, Dr. Davey. Next application is Anna Stocking. Dr. Davis Wilson, your lead on that.
Mr. Chair. A note that this individual works at the same company as I do, but I feel I can move forward objectively.
Oh, thank you. And then actually, I'm sorry, I need to move back to the application Dr. Davey reviewed. There was a, on 21D, on the application on page 3, there was a box that wasn't checked. I don't know if that needs to be addressed before moving forward, but just want to note that.
Oh, yeah. All right, you ready for me?
Yes.
Perfect. All right, Ms. Stocking passed her exam in July of 2021. She completed her Master's of Arts in ABA from ASU in 2020. She did complete just over 1,500 hours with a licensed behavior analyst here in the state of Arizona. I had no concerns with her application. I do recommend that it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
All right, thank you. Next application, Brittany Olson, Ms. Denton, your lead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am scrolling to the correct applicant. Okay. Here, Brittany Olson passed her exam in February of 2018. She graduated with a Master's in Education and Curriculum and Instruction in May of 2014 from ASU's online program. She received her supervision by licensed behavior analysts in the state of Arizona from November of 2014 to October of 2016. For a total of 1,530 hours. When reviewing Ms. Olson's documentation as far as her positions go, I did have a little bit of concern and would like some additional clarification. In March of 2020, she acquired a job where BCBA is in her title. She was not licensed. She is applying for licensure at this time. I would like some additional information to find out if she was providing behavior analytic services in the state of Arizona without a license. Comments? Questions?
Scrolling through.
It does note that there's a slash in her title. So I believe it was trainer slash BCBA. So it very well could be that she was just training and she wasn't providing behavior analytic services to clients. However, I would like some additional clarification.
Is this the, make sure I have the right one.
Williams, correct.
Is it the first
one? Brittany Olson. We're Brittany Olson, correct?
Yes. Brittany Olson. You're correct. Are you talking about the first one listed, talent consultant slash BCBA?
Yeah.
Well, and I would just like to clarify, and I think it's fine to request additional information, but she could have still been providing services under supervision so long as the services were supervised and the public wasn't under the impression she was independently licensed.
Absolutely. And I mean, it definitely could be the case that we move forward with her application for approval and then we investigate the other option. She did meet the requirements for the number of hours her supervisor was licensed, her supervision dates. If everything else looks fine. Ms. Galvin made a frowny face.
That was not directed at anything.
Okay.
Ms. Galvin, Mr. Chair, I could be wrong. I think that we have set precedents here, and it was probably before Tisha's time, of... And this is echoed into the psychology board side too, because there aren't any statutory requirements around supervision of a BCBA, it just says you must be supervised, then generally in these situations that they meet the requirement and we don't have any reason to believe that in working with the organization, she wasn't being supervised, we generally do not take additional action on this particular circumstance. I think that if it was an organization where maybe that was in her job title and there wasn't access to other people for us to be able to kind of say, well, in an organization, she could practice under supervision. That would be a little different if her employer didn't have other supervisors listed that were licensed. But in this case, in the past, we've kind of taken a stance of the statute does not define what supervision for a certified behavior analyst has to look like.
Absolutely. So Ms. Galvin, I would like to kind of ask your advice here. Can we move this application forward for approval to the board and also request, send a letter, a fair letter to clarify? Or would it need to be either or?
You could move it forward to the board and in the interim ask staff to obtain that letter, that clarification. So then it's available for review at the time of the board meeting without delaying the application for like another month or so.
Okay. So moved.
Okay. Second. All in favor or discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. Next is Lori Tarter. Dr. Rates, you are the lead on that.
Yes. So this applicant received their BCBA in 2015. They also indicated that they are licensed in the states of Nevada, Wisconsin, and Washington. The individual received their master's at Pepperdine in 2002 and then completed a PsyD in 2012. Supervision occurred in Southern California between June of 2012 and August of 2013 for a total of 1,500 hours under a BCBA, and as we know, California was not under licensure. The only issue that I had caught with this application is just for question 19, it was left blank. So if we want to just advise them to correct that, otherwise I would suggest that this be moved forward to the board for review.
I'm present if I'm not quite sure what question 19 is, but if I could answer that now, I'm happy to. Oh.
I think it was just a clerical error, and so we just need you to mark that. So did you complete the 270 classroom hours is that question, and it was just left blank.
Yes, I did, probably more than that too.
I imagine.
Thank you, Dr. Carter. Appreciate you being here to answer that question.
Thanks. If you need me to send it corrected, I'm more than happy to mark that as a yes, I did complete that to you.
Mr. Chair, yes, we will reach out to you. It may be Monday, but we will just ask you to turn around a quick correction so the documentation is accurate. So that, as long as you respond promptly, it shouldn't preclude your application from being on the board's October 1st agenda.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks for being here. Okay, next application is Jennifer Vanerath. Just a disclosure, she is employed with a company for whom I worked, but I've not directly worked with her, so I believe I can do her application without bias. Ms. Vanerath received her BCBA certificate in August.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah,
I would also like to note the same thing. I did directly oversee Jennifer Vanerath in the position at a previous company. However, I do feel that I can move forward objectively. We have not worked together for some time.
Great, thank you. So Ms. Vanerath received her BCBA certificate in August of 2021. She graduated in May of 2019 from Arizona State University's online program. She received over 1,800 hours of supervision under multiple supervisors in Arizona who are all licensed behavior analysts. I did not know any concerns and recommend this be moved forward to the board for approval. Okay, next application is Eva Marie Velez. Dr. Dave, your lead on that. Oh, Dr. Dave.
Dr. Dave.
That would help if I'm not muted, correct? Yes, Ms. Velez comes forward seeking licensure. She is a board certified behavior analyst, receiving that certification in August of 2021. She completed her application in full until Dr. Stenhoff corrects me, as usual. It's not a meeting without that, Dr. Stenhoff. Arizona State University is where she worked on her master's in special education. Also did some studying at the University of Arizona in the College of Humanities. The individual had supervised experience towards certification and licensure at Child and Family Support. That supervision was provided by an individual who has both certification as well as a licensure in the state of Arizona. And I move that this go forward for a full approval.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Day. Next application is Brittany Wagner. Dr. Davis Wilson, your lead on that.
Yes, Ms. Wagner completed her certification in August of 2015. She did a Master's of Arts in ABA at Florida Institute of Technology, graduating in 2015 as well. She did complete just over 1,500 hours in California, where licensure is not required. I do have just a couple of things to note. One on the supervisor form for Dr. Szabo, there isn't a signature. However, I'm not concerned about it because she also supplied the BACB form and that does have a signature and they align. I just wanted to note that for the record. I also wanted to note that two of her supervisors, Martindale and Rodriguez, answered yes to questions number 9. Again, clerical errors. This is asking if they were licensed in the state in which they practiced. California does not have licensure. So if we could get that revised to reflect the answer of no, that would be great. And I just wanted to note one other thing that I noticed, and I noticed this on another form as well. On that multiple supervisor form, they did also list a licensure effective date where it should be just like an NA. There is no licensure in California. So again, they've got the, I think they might have listed certification dates, but just wanted to note for the record that those dates are not actual licensure dates because California does not have licensure. I don't know that that form needs to be changed, but definitely the supervisor forms for Rodriguez and Martindale. Again, just fixing the clerical errors. Otherwise, I had no issues with the application and I would recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval with those revisions.
Thank you. Next application, Victoria Williams. Ms. Fenton, your lead on that.
Mr. Chair, Victoria Williams comes forth looking for licensure in the state of Arizona. She passed her exam on June 12th of 2021 after graduating from George Mason University with a Master's of Special Education in Early Childhood and Certificate of Applied Behavior Analysis in August of 2019. She received her supervision from January 3rd of 2020 to March 31st of 2021. She is also licensed in the state of Texas. And she received all of her supervision in Texas by licensed behavior analysts in the state of Texas who were also licensed at the appropriate times. There are a couple of, I believe, clerical errors on this one as well. There is no choice between home or business address listed on this one. And there's a really teeny tiny error when it comes to the multiple supervisor form. Supervisor Natalie has listed that she has not yet completed her supervision of this applicant. So we would likely just need, for sake of accuracy, an update for the date that supervision ended instead of in December of 2021.
Any recommendations, Ms. Fenton?
My recommendations would be that pending these clerical errors being addressed, we move this forward for full approval from the board.
All right, thank you. Next application is Ashley Gessinger. Dr. Ray, it's your lead on that.
Yes, so this applicant received their BCBA in July of 2021. They also completed their master's at ASU in special education in May of 21. All supervision occurred here in Arizona between September of 2019 and January of 2021 under a licensed BCBA by the state for a total of 1,501 hours. And I did not see an issue with the application and would suggest it move forward to the board for review.
All right.
Approval. I don't know why. Sure. I want everything to be reviewed today. Approval.
All right. Well, thank you for the change. All right. Next application is Corin Burnett. Ms. Burnett received her BCBA certificate in March of 2020. She graduated in June of 2020 from Northern Illinois University. With a MS in education with a certificate in applied behavior analysis. She received 1,500 hours of supervision of multiple supervisors in Illinois, which does not require licensure. And I recommend this move forward to the board for approval. Okay, next application is Crystal Diaz. Dr. David, your lead on that.
Thank you. Make sure I'm not muted. Thank you, Mr. Chair. start at the top here, and then there's just a few errors, I believe, on the application. But Ms. Diaz comes forward with her application. I believe that it is completed in its entirety. And just a question for board staff with regard to question one, number one. When there is no work address and that box is checked, is it fair to assume that there is an address on file for this individual, just it's their personal address and not public record?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Rest of the application is completed. There's a list of California State University Northridge for studying for a master's in science and applied behavior analysis through the Department of Psychology. Recognized two supervisors while she was in California that counted towards her supervised experience work as well as towards her licensure. And then actually a third as well. Also residing in California, so licensure is not an issue. The items that I've noted on the page were related to the multiple supervisor form. I believe there is a typo on when Dr. Deborah Barry Malberg actually received her BACB supervision training. I believe it on the document it says 2017, but I believe in reviewing the individual's information from the BACB, that date should be 12/7/2014. So again, not sure if that needs to be dealt with or not. And that really completes my review of the documents.
Thank you, Dr. Davies.
Forward, yes.
All right, thank you. All right. Next application is Brittany Gonzalez. Dr. Davis Wilson, you're lead on that.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez is applying for initial licensure here in Arizona. She was certified in November of 2018. She completed a master's in ABA from National University in 2018. She did complete just over 1,500 hours in California where licensure is not required. Again, this was another one where licensure dates were filled out on the multiple supervisor form, but those dates, that section should actually read NA. Probably just being picky at this point. The only thing that I noted was that she did answer no to question number 18, which means that the NA answer to question number 19 is not a valid answer. So she does need to provide us information with whether or not she completed the 270 hours, which based on the transcripts, it should be yes. I would recommend that this be forwarded to the full board for approval, provided she updates that to yes. If she does state no, then we will need to review the application again.
Thank you. Next application is Megan Deffenbaugh. Ms. Denton, your lead on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This applicant completed her BCBA in August of 2021, after receiving her master's in education and curriculum and instruction from ASU's online ABA program in August of 2017. She received her supervision from January of 2018 until January 28th of 2020. She received 1,576 hours, all under Arizona licensed behavior analysts. I believe on this one, we've got a couple of, I'm hoping they're errors. On the multiple supervisor form, it appears that all of the supervisors did not complete their 8-hour supervisor training by the appropriate date, but looking at further documentation, the information is conflicting. When you look at the certification documents that are printed off from the BACB, noting the date that 8-hour supervisor training was completed, all of those dates line up. So with that information, it appears that everything else is in line. And pending a correction so that the information is congruent between the pages, I would move that this moves to the board for full approval.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Dunn. Next application, Alexa Leninger. Dr. Ray, it's your lead on that.
Yes.
This applicant received their, I should start, this applicant works at my agency, but we do not work together, so I feel like I can move forward without bias. So this applicant received their BCBA in August of 2021, completed a master's at ASU in special education. Supervision occurred under a licensed behavior analyst here in the state. That occurred between September 2019 and June of 2021 for a total of 1,545 hours. I did not see any issue with the application and would recommend that it move forward for approval.
All right. Just one note of on clerical on page one, number five is not checked, yes or no. I mean, obviously the information is filled in, so maybe it's irrelevant whether it's checked, but just want to point that out. It needed to be fixed. Okay, next application is Christina Land. She received her BCBA certificate in August of 2019. She graduated from Walden University with a Master's of Science in Education, completed her certificate in Five Behavior Analysis at University of North Texas. She received 1,513.25 hours of supervision under Michelle Riffey in Michigan, which at the time did not require licensure, and I didn't note any issues with this application. Recommended to the board for approval. Next application is Shayla Bruce. Dr. Davey, your lead on that.
Yes, Ms. Bruce comes forward seeking seeking licensure in the state of Arizona. Application identifies that she is a board certified behavior analyst. We see that in July of 2021. Application is completed in full. Lists at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, where the individual got her master's in arts and psychology with a major subject area of psychology and applied behavior analysis. The other information is related to her supervision done inside of Nebraska from 2018 to 2020. And the rest of the information is complete. She has a list of those that supervised her in the state of Nebraska. Nebraska does not have licensure for BCBAs. Appreciate the applicant completing that form and listing out BACB experience as well. And I would move that this go forward to the board.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Page. Next application is Elise Escobar. Dr. Davis Wilson, your lead on that.
Yes, Ms. Escobar completed her certification in February of 2021. She did a master's in Master's of Arts in ABA at Arizona State University in 2020. She did all of her hours in California, just over 1,500 hours with a in California, so supervisors did not need to be licensed. I have reviewed her application, and I do not know any concerns and would recommend it to be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thanks, Dr. Davis. Next application is Jacqueline Lanfear. Ms. Denton, your lead on that.
Yes, I will, Mr. Chair. This applicant received her BCBA certification in June of 2021. She graduated with a Master's of Science in ABA from Western New England University in February of 2021. Her supervision dates range from September 25th of 2017 to June 24th of 2019. She did receive 921.24 hours, very specific, from the Western New England University Intensive Practicum. She completed an additional 632.10 hours in the state of Arizona, all under the appropriate licensure for supervisors, for a grand total of 1,553.34 hours. I have no concerns with this application and would move that it goes to the board for full approval.
All right, thank you very much. Next application is Natalie Klein. Dr. Ritz, your lead on that.
This applicant received their BCBA in May of 2021. They completed a master's in special education at ASU in August of 2020. Supervision occurred across multiple supervisors and locations, starting in Colorado with two individuals who had their BCBA, then moving to Arizona. The timeframe for all of that was between 2019 and February of 21. The supervision in Arizona was done by licensed behavior analysts in the state, and the total supervision was 1,531. I did not see issue with the application and would recommend move forward for approval.
All right. Great. Thanks, Dr. Reynolds. Last application is Mary Jansen. I'm the lead on that one. Ms. Jansen received her BCBA certificate in July of 2021. She graduated in August of 2020 from the University of Arizona with a Master's of Arts in Special Education with an emphasis in Applied Behavior Analysis. She received 1,500 hours of supervision of multiple supervisors in Arizona who were all licensed behavior analysts. And I did not know any concerns with this application. Recommend it move forward to the board for approval. Okay, do we want to make a motion for the applications at this point? Or okay. Does somebody have a list, or can we just take what we have at this point? Or is somebody, somebody ready to list those off?
I think a motion moving that the matters be forwarded to the board or alternative action as noted in the discussion.
Okay.
Wow, that's a good one.
Nice. There's my motion, what Ms. Galvin said. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Galvin, for stating that so well. Appreciate it. Okay, next item, agenda item number 7. Discussion, consideration, possible action regarding potential unlicensed supervision provided by Ms. Provided by Lauren Niemer-Kaiser and Kristen Jones. Ms. Packham, would you brief us on this?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The committee first reviewed the application of Madison Williams on July 30th, 2021, at which time you noted that the supervision took place while the applicant was in Tempe, Arizona. The file contained the supervision plan, which indicated that Lauren Niemer-Kaiser was the supervisor for the experience. However, she does not hold and has never held a license in Arizona. The file also reflected that none of the BACB monthly verification forms were signed by Ms. Niemer-Kaiser in her capacity as that contracted supervisor. You also noted that the supervision contract did not list any other supervisors for Ms. Williams' experience. However, Ms. Kristen Jones supplied documentation of over 1,500 hours of supervision. Ms. Jones has never held a license in Arizona as a behavior analyst. We reached out at the committee's direction to both individuals requesting that they attend this meeting. We learned that Ms. Jones was not going to be available for this meeting. However, yesterday, Ms. Niemer-Kaiser indicated that she would attend. So I have no other documentation to supply to you other than, of course, the application file for Ms. Williams, which you have reviewed previously, the communications I've exchanged with the two former supervisors, and then the minutes from that July 30th meeting. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have for me.
Okay. All right, thanks, Ms. Packham. Okay, so as Ms. Packham stated, there was some issues with the fact that there was supervision occurring from non-licensed BCBAs who were located out of the state of Arizona, in addition to not being licensed. And we've seen, this occurring, across several of our applications over the past month. I want to open it up to the committee to see if there's any discussion or Anything they'd like to add to this discussion?
Are we able to hear from Ms. Niemer-Kaiser?
She's on the line right now, yeah.
Yeah, perhaps she could provide us just a brief statement, and then that will allow for us to answer questions and have discussion.
Hi, I'm here, and thank you for allowing me to be here to speak with you all. So how our agency functions is we have supervisors who are all over the country and a couple Canadians on our team as well, who provide remote supervision. And what we ensure is that to the best of our ability that the supervisors on our team do have licenses in the states in which they're providing supervision for our consumers. At the time that Madison started, we were not aware of Arizona licensure, and that is an error on our part. But what we were doing was ensuring that she was meeting the BACB requirements for supervision. And how our process works is they do an intake with me, and then I sign the supervision contract on behalf of our agency. And then as each trainee matches with their appropriate supervisor, they match in our supervision portal and both of them connect. And when they do that, there's a little spot, which I did set a screenshot of that connection after your last meeting. I apologize that was a late response, that they are abiding to those conditions within the supervision contract. And so we do that to ensure that there's no lag in supervision. And then depending on if there's an area of expertise or someone else on our team who's better suited to support with a particular area of interest, that they're able to meet with those other supervisors on our team and make that connection in the portal to show that they have agreed to meet that contract requirement. In the case with Madison, she did match with Kristen Jones first, and they did provide supervision in accordance with the BACB standards. And as soon as we found out, when Madison was doing her research to apply for her licensure in Arizona, we immediately switched her and found a Arizona licensed BCBA and supported her with that exchange over. And we have since made those modifications on our team in order to ensure that there are Arizona LBAs present, and that's where we are redirecting our trainees to. And if it's not appropriate, we will support them with finding additional supervisors as necessary. And we've made modifications within our contract as well. I do note that in the email requesting me to show up as well, I know there's confusion with my name again being on the contract and then it being a multiple supervisors, and those roles were not specifically defined in our contract, but at no point did Madison have both of them at the same time. So we did not modify the contract in order to define roles. It was one supervisory period, and then she changed over to Cheyenne in order to support for that last calendar month in accordance with your requirements. So it was a misstep on our part that we did not understand that there was that licensure requirement in the states that both Kristen Jones and myself provide services, and that's not a requirement for us. So that was a misstep on our part, but we did do our due diligence to support Madison as soon as we could, and wanted to document that further and wanted to support her as well with pursuing her credential within your state and abide by your standards.
Further comments, questions?
Yeah, Dr. Sinop, I have a few comments and questions. So you state that the states that you guys live in, licensure is not required. However, it's or that you guys are providing services, and however, you are licensed in Michigan and the other individual is licensed in Tennessee. So are there other states that you're providing services in? And how do you guys vet that? Because just to give an idea, a lot of these states, Arizona is not the only one, they're practice and title state law. So even though ours specifically says, hey, in order to count your supervision hours, you have to be licensed by a licensed supervisor, the actual law itself says to practice behavior analysis in that state, you must be licensed. And that's Nevada, that's Kentucky, that's Michigan, that's, you know, many states. So how, one, what states then do you guys provide in? And two, how do you make sure that this isn't happening in other states?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So what I meant by my statement was that, for example, for Michigan, at least as far as we've been told and directed, if someone's providing and supporting their documentation for their supervised hours, they're not required to be supervised by a licensed BCBA in Michigan. A COABA or, you know, Ohio behavior analyst could supervise them and submit those hours as long as they're approved by the BACB. And so that's where our understanding went. But for example, we work with individuals in Florida where there is no state licensure and that type of requirement. So what we have done since, and especially since Madison's situation, is we have gone onto the BACB website and looked at every state that they've identified to have licensure requirements. We have specifically reached out to each of their licensing boards and as well as their local agencies as appropriate, determined their rules, and then have contracted BCBAs on our team in each of those states in order to ensure that we have somebody on our team that is appropriate. If we do not, then we send the trainee to find an appropriate person. And then what we've also added in our process, just to ensure we've double checked and make sure that we're always on top of the requirements, is making sure that the first assignment out of the gate for all of our trainees is to review each state, their specific state licensure, their regulation board, and the rules and requirements, as well as reaching out to somebody in their local area to confirm that they meet that requirement. And they must show documentation and proof of that to us, and then we record it as such. So we're really ensuring that we do our due diligence, because it is an ever-changing thing. It's one state each time, and making sure that because we're not residing there, we're not providing that requirement, that we do know, and we are doing our best to make sure that a situation like Madison's doesn't happen again. And as well as we're protecting the clients that we serve in each of those states and providing that oversight. I do have to say as well, most of ours are coming to us for supplemental unrestricted activities. So they are being supervised by their employer at work, and we're helping them with additional mock assignments and things, really to make sure that they're getting that overarching supervision.
Yeah, and I actually, I like your model, and I think it fits a need. The concern is, again, understanding those state licenses. And again, mm-hmm. I can't express enough the importance of not just looking at is licensure required to be eligible to become licensed, but really understanding. So if a state like Michigan says licensure is required to practice, then even though it might not specifically say licensure is required to, you have to have a license to supervise, supervision is practice. And even though, and this is where it gets really tricky with remote, because it might seem like I'm in Arizona, therefore I'm practicing in Arizona. But if the recipient of the services are in another state, then those remote supervisors have to be meeting the requirements of that state, not just supervision requirements, but practice requirements. And so I would definitely, I appreciate hearing that you guys are making making progress towards identifying that. You know, one thing that I require in my contracts is I kind of require a scavenger hunt of when you sign the contract, you also have to list the BACB number of your supervisor. You have to list their license number if applicable, and you have to list the date that they did their supervision hours. So I like that idea of having an assignment to get them familiar with those local things. So thank you for putting those things into place quickly. Again, I would just be very, the biggest hiccup is that misunderstanding of like, okay, well, Michigan doesn't require supervision to be by a licensed supervisor. But again, if they require the practice of ABA to be by a licensed individual, then it's this kind of funky line of where, who's receiving the services, who's the client, and their location is going to matter. So I would just make sure that, you know, and even if it's a matter of, you know, obtaining legal counsel to interpret some of those intricacies, that would be helpful. But that's all I had. No, I had one other question. So you say that you sign the contract and then you just kind of hand them over. Are they signing a second contract with that supervisor, or is it just I agree to this contract, but how does that individual know which role is what?
Great question. So they're signing, it's basically an addendum to the contract, identifying that they're acknowledging, both parties are acknowledging on the supervisor's behalf and the trainee's behalf to the contract. And both of them have access to that and can review it at any point. It is locked in their supervision portal, visible to them in their document section the entire time. Most trainees, we really try to to stick with one person for the entire duration of their supervision. If they do go to somebody else for the purpose of an area of expertise, joining a group supervision, changing for whatever reason that may be, they do re-acknowledge it. And so there's another addendum associated with it. And it's a virtual thing that we have that shows who their primary is, who their secondary is. And then if that situation does occur, we do have some, for example, that want that that variation in supervision. What they'll end up doing is have a meeting with all of them, and they will acknowledge roles specifically, and it's documented in their document section as well of those roles and responsibilities. We weren't able to demonstrate that for Madison, again, just because she only had one person at a time, and so each person validated the contract after the point that they connected, but that's what we intend to do and continue to do forward for all of our trainees, is make sure that they're all acknowledging the contract. And then every supervisor as well who's in our portal does have the ability to add their own contract if they want to add any additional requirements. We just have a standard one that all of our trainees are required at the bare minimum, and then they can add additional as they see fit.
So one other question I have is that we have an email that went out to you from board staff requesting a copy of or some documentation to show that that particular supervisor and Ms. Williams were connected. Can you speak to why that email was not responded to?
So I did respond to it after the last time that you guys met. I don't know why it didn't send, but it didn't. And then it went to Ms. Folks, and I had to reset it over to, I believe it was Z. I don't want to say her name incorrectly. But I did respond to that to identify that and sent a screenshot of the connections after the fact. I'm more than happy to resend that as well if necessary.
And so then I guess my question for board staff is, because we did have that section in the notes of, again, having not heard a response from the supervisor, did you guys get everything that you guys needed from her to kind of wrap up those questions? Because I'm not seeing it in the documentation we have. But if you guys have it, or she says she can resend it.
Mr. Chair, I'm getting an indication from Ms. Malice that she doesn't recall receiving it. Ms. Folks, I invite her to chime in. I would not have, it's unlikely that I would have been included in that email conversation. So if Ms. Folks didn't receive it, then we definitely need that to be resent.
I can do that right now for you all. I'm happy to resend it and the thread as well.
Okay.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Yeah, that's helpful. That allows for us to wrap up that concern, because like I said, it's concerning to see that we're trying to reach out to a BCBA or a supervisor and they're not responding. Mm-hmm. It appears like it was just perhaps a clerical a technology issue, which is not an issue at all. I just want to make sure that that's wrapped up so that it's reflected in our records. Those are all of the questions that I have specific to you. And if and Mr. Chair, I don't know if we're taking each individual separate. It would be my recommendation that we do, because we already have enough information, in my opinion, to say that this particular individual was not practicing without a license in Arizona.
I have further questions for Lauren.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'll let you respond to Dr. Davis Wilson's.
Go ahead, Dr. Davy, and we'll come back.
In preparation for this, I spent some time on your website in trying to understand kind of the service you provide, and I think I want to bring a few things to your attention with regard to some areas you need to research in terms of ethical considerations as they relate to the BACB. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that you are providing a service supervision that is needed. I have a little bit of a hard time with the statement that Arizona's licensure laws were not on your radar unless this individual was the first given that Arizona was one of the early adopters of licensure and has been in place for quite some time. And now there are 37 states that have licensure in some way, some shape or form across the US. And so that puts a lot of pressure on your organization to make sure that not only the individual being supervised understands practice and title acts and rules and regulations around supervision. Michigan and Arizona is a good example of whether not the individual supervising needs to be in the licensed in the state of which they were providing that service. And so I'm a little concerned that just about the due diligence around that, and want to make sure that you understand that the importance of understanding those and not shifting it just to the supervisee, because you're essentially putting the other BCBAs that you are employing to provide supervision at risk. And we'll be moving on to that in a second. The other issue is around the testimonials on the website. So even among, you know, current BACB guidelines around those testimonials would suggest that you need to do some cleanup on those reviews. And then the guidelines that are coming forward in 2022 would suggest even further guidance on those. And they, you know, essentially supervisees are your client, and those need to be treated as such as testimonials. And so I would encourage you to dig deep into that, or perhaps get some information from a subject matter expert with regard to testimonials and PCBAs. The last point I want to make is with your core features, with the choose your supervisor and the language of access to a global network of supervisors. I think that in of itself gives me pause to use a term like global, meaning that an Arizona soon to be, you know, an Arizona a person looking to become an LBA cannot access a global network. That they need to access an individual with the proper credential, in this case, an Arizona license, to be able to get that supervision. And so I would encourage you, so that we don't have to have this conversation again, and that you don't have to have it with other regulatory bodies, to really go through some of the language that you have out there in the public and align it to maybe, you know, be a little bit more specific and not so wide stroke or a wide brush of comments, to at least give individuals a chance to understand exactly what they may be getting into.
Sure. Thank you. And I appreciate your feedback. I do want to make note too that every single person, before they move and are able to connect with any supervisors that are on our team, do go through me, and we do have a discussion about who and where they are eligible and who they're able to connect with. I don't ever want to lead somebody in the wrong way. And there's plenty of people where we define that this is not the right fit for them. And, you know, we do ask them to go seek other supervision, and we will support them with finding that. But I do understand that if the language is inappropriate or misleading, that that's something that we can definitely modify. And it's not a problem at all. And I appreciate you bringing that to my attention.
And I would say the testimonials are the other big piece. You need to get into what is currently 8.05 on testimonials and advertising, and then take a look at what's coming out in terms of 5.08 of using testimonials of former clients for advertising. And that also relates to, I think, 2.03, 4, 211, and 3.1 at least. So,
sure.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Davey, I want to reiterate a couple of things that Dr. Davey said that I think are very important. One is that, again, that kind of idea that, you know, like an Arizona individual needs an Arizona licensed individual. We say that because we're most familiar with Arizona and we are the board for Arizona. But I also want to make sure that, again, we're reiterating that we're not the only state. Like, I know a lot of people take from this and then go and say, well, Arizona does everything so different. No, to Dr. Davey's point, there's about 37 states with licensure. And I'll give you an example even of, you know, maybe somebody is in Texas and you guys, let's say that the same supervisor from Tennessee supervised, and maybe Texas, who also has a licensure law, mm-hmm. maybe their licensure law doesn't specifically say, again, supervisors have to be licensed. And so that individual might be able to, work their way. We've seen where people might get licensed because of maybe overseeing something. Then they come to us or they relocate to Arizona and now we're back in the same boat. No, they weren't in Arizona, but they were in Texas, and Texas requires licensure and those supervisors have to be licensed. So I think that that's a very important take home. I also think a very, very important take home is that in the role that you are providing services, you have multiple clients, and that is the individuals receiving the services at the end, but also your supervisees. Those are clients, and I would highly encourage that when you're interpreting the ethics code, that you're interpreting it with the perspective that those supervisees are absolutely clients. And then again, their clients are also, you know, by the nature of how some of those contracts work for some of the services, are also your clients. And so it's very important to kind of weed that out as you're looking at the ethics.
Thank you very much for that feedback. And I do think that's a misstep that I have with the testimonials in particular. It's, you know, not having the consumers, but understanding that those supervisees, even if it was freely provided, is something that shouldn't be posted. And I will be very honest, that's also something that's a marketing side that I don't handle and they don't know. So that I'll do my due diligence to have those conversations and ensure. Our agency and why I even built this program is to support individuals getting high quality supervision. That was the entire intention, because I had a terrible experience myself and had to move and relocate to find the right person. So that's the intention of why we're doing what we're doing. It's not to, you know, take over, be the biggest or the baddest or anything like that. It's really to make sure that people who are stuck in situations that can't find a good supervisor can. And we want to provide that with the best that we can on our team, and are doing our due diligence. And to speak to the point of understanding which states, is we were very intentional about the states that we started with, who we knew we had people on our team who knew. So we did not expand to Arizona for quite some time. We did not touch states that we knew that the requirements were, like New York. We don't go near it because of the requirements. There's things like that that we've done our due diligence on. And we most recently have started to expand and grown our team accordingly. So we do have, you know, quite a few BCBAs and are intentional about which trainees and which BCBAs we do add to our team. But I will absolutely take your feedback into consideration and make those changes accordingly. As I want to learn, I want to make sure that I'm doing the best and making sure that our trainees and also us as supervisors are setting that example for the trainees and those individuals that we support. So thank you again for your feedback.
I have one other question. The best of your knowledge, do we have anybody else that's going to come creeping up on our radar that we're going to have to be like, oh man, here's another one, or perhaps another supervisor that may have been providing supervision in Arizona?
No. So we only had one other individual, but we caught it as Madison's was terminated. She was only like 2 weeks in. So she had altered hers, switched over to a new supervisor. Again, Miss Cheyenne Cody DeRosa took over. So no, we now have multiple Arizona LBAs who have made very sure that they're licensed and appropriate and are all set. So you should not see anybody else come through the gate unless somebody messed up and didn't tell us that they were located where they're supposed to be located, but that's a whole other issue. But no, we've caught the one other issue at the same time and we should be set going forward.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that. And because it was just in the kind of initial 2 weeks and that person was under you, were they actually receiving supervision services or was it still just all the onboarding on set?
Still onboarding. We send everybody through that intro to supervision module at the beginning where we ensure and we test that they understand the experience standards and all of that wonderful stuff, and then send them through the pre-experience checklist and state checklist. So she was still doing that at that point in time. So she wiped those from what she's going to count for her LBA as well, and is very, very well informed of what needs to be happening next.
And I think that brings up a good point. How do you differentiate? So like, it's my understanding again, and I mentioned it when reviewing Ms. Williams' application, CPR, first aid, some of those crisis prevention classes, attending a training for introduction for supervision, those sorts of hours aren't actual supervised fieldwork hours. How do you relay that to those to those students so that they know, like, hey, sometimes the first 2 weeks of supervision, nothing counts because we're all doing administrative stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you communicate that to them? And how do your supervisors make sure that they're not counting things like first aid and CPR and some of those non-behavior analytic tasks?
Yeah, so we've actually made quite a few modifications with that, especially as we're transitioning everything over to the fifth edition task list and have a little bit more understanding and the fieldwork tracker change. But all of our supervisors are trained to understand that, like, just normal training, CPR is not behavior analytic in nature. Now, if you were to have a conversation with me after the fact and say why or what you need to modify for a particular consumer, you know, maybe there's an instance where we can't do hands-on for a particular individual to train, and what would you do? The application after, to show me the app, how you would use it, why you would use it, why it's behavior analytic. And then sometimes it's conversations that what you're being trained in your employer isn't behavior analytic, and why is it not, and why should we not be using it? The conversations about that, we allow them to count. And it's on a supervisor's discretion. But we do train all of our supervisors in the onboarding to pay attention for that, because most people are told just do it, right? Just, you can count it. Count the CEU event if you want to count a CEU event. And that's not actually the case. So we'll have that type of training with them at the beginning. And then what we've also done is we've worked on modifying a tracking system that has specific categories that they need to define what items fits in it for it to even count. So it gives another double check, and it will actually audit the trainee to tell them it doesn't count. And then they can reflect on that while their supervisor, then the supervisor can specifically state, was there an extension? Is there a permanent product? Is there something else that would allow that conversation afterwards to count for their hours? So we're trying to make it a little bit more smart to audit them as well, but doing our due diligence to continue to share BACB standards, anything that novel that comes out, and then share throughout our entire team.
Excellent. Thank you. I'll share. I also run a training organization, and we focus solely on supervision as well. And so it's very nice to ask these questions and get responses that are very like-minded in quality and continue process improvement, because that's part of supervision, right? Like, what we did supervision 2 years ago looks very different than what we do now. So thank you for indulging me on all of my questions. I appreciate it.
No, not a problem at all. And I appreciate your feedback. And I reiterate your point too. It's always nice to hear somebody else who has a passion for it. And I can't tell you how many, I'm sure you experience this as well, of horror stories that people come to you where they lost their entire 1500 hours or, you know, wherever else it may be, or their terrible 1500 hours. And so whatever we can do to make that process more streamlined for our individuals and continue to support that high quality, that is the intention. And, you know, we'll do everything we need to do to make sure that continues.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Ms. Folks, I did forward that email thread over to you as well, so you do have access to those information.
And Mr. Chair, we elected to forward that email to your emails, as we thought that would be the quickest way for you to access that material.
Yeah. And, based on the email, I just read through it. Do you all, I noticed that you signed the initial contract, you may have discussed this already. Do you have the next supervisor, the one you pass off to, sign the contract as well, or sign a contract with the
So it's great question. It's all of that electronic check. So as soon as they click that button, it says, I agree to supervise, I accept to be supervised, or I want you as my supervisor, it automatically populates their name. And we have on our side a checkbox that says they have agreed. If that is not believed to be sufficient, I'm happy to add additional language in there as well that would document in their sections, and I'm happy to make that adjustment. But that's what we have so far, is that acknowledgement. When they match, is what we call it, it automatically populates those together.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments from the committee? Ms. Niemer-Kaiser, any other further comments from you at all? You've provided a lot of information already. So.
No, anything that you guys need from me, I'm more than happy to supply. And I apologize that my previous communication was not in a timely manner. But please do not ever hesitate to reach out. I'm more than happy to support in any way.
Dr. Davis Wilson, you made a comment earlier about moving forward. What would you mind restating that?
My recommendation is that we still have a discussion about the other individual, the other supervisor. I think the circumstances are different, the roles are different, and I do have additional concerns to note.
Okay. In this item, do we need to do anything further with Ms. Niemer Kaiser's agenda item, or?
I don't believe that we do, Ms. Galvin. I don't know if you can chime in, but I think we were just talking about kind of this exploration to see if we needed to pursue potential unlicensed practice. But I think with, for me personally, I would, and I don't know if we need a motion to dismiss, but I would say that for agenda item number A, I do not have concerns of unlicensed practice.
If you want to vote to take no action.
Yes. So a motion to take no action on agenda item number A for Lauren Niemer Kaiser. That's my notion, my motion.
All right, second. Any further, further discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, thank you very much for being here and answering our questions. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you for the opportunity to connect with y'all, and hope you have a great rest of your Friday.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I think she's welcome to stay on this next item, since she's, I think that she's the supervisor, if she wants to listen in on the commentary.
Okay. So let's open up this discussion, and for Ms. Jones, committee, would any committee members want to start in on that?
I mean, I was comfortable with the responses specific to the organization's position, the organization, how they are handling things. I'm concerned, however, though, that this particular individual, Ms. Jones, is under the impression that she has not provided any supervision services in the state of Arizona. However, we have Ms. Williams that has said, yes, she had clients that were informed, that signed consent, that were observed receiving ABA services. And during all of this time, Ms. Jones was providing services in Arizona. So I think if the question is, is there evidence to say that she is providing services in the state of Arizona, or was providing services in the state of Arizona with a license, I think we have evidence to support that she was. So I think, one, we need to kind of review that and the implications of that and take action on that information that we have. The other piece that I think is again, kind of telling, but also concerning, is that she essentially just sent an email and said, I have never provided supervision or services in the state of Arizona. And I'm concerned about that, because we've got a big discrepancy between what the owner of the agency is saying. We have a discrepancy, you know, with Ms. Williams, who's saying, yes, these services did occur. The owner of the agency is saying, yes, these services occurred, but we have corrected them. Yet we have a supervisor that's saying, nope, they never occurred.
Yeah. The documentation, so I'm reviewing Ms. Williams' application right now, and in reference to on page 183 of the PDF, Ms. Jones signed for 1,500 hours under an Arizona address for the site in which Ms. Williams was doing her work, and so her supervision work. So, I think there is a bit of a conflict there. So,
I wonder, Ms. Galvin, if the next steps then, just because the agenda item is just to discuss the potential that this is happening, would the next steps be that we just motion to open a complaint? I mean, we can go to legal advice, but that's, I if we need to, but I feel like that historically has been the direction.
Yeah, to recommend that a complaint be opened, yes.
Then that would be my motion, would be that we recommend a complaint to be opened against Ms. Kristen Jones.
I'll second that.
Do we have any further discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. All right. Let's see. I have 1 o'clock. Do any of the committee members or board staff, do we want to table the remaining items, or are there things on here that, that as a group we would care to talk about at this time? Maybe that's not the right way to address the question, but there are establishing operations.
Mr. Chair, let's offer some input. I think 8 and 10 will be quick discussions. 9 does include, I think, some relevant information, some timely information that the committee would like to hear, the update from my recent conversation with BACB staff. I do think that items 11 and 12 should be discussed in the context of, do you want them on the next month's agenda or a special meeting agenda? Does that help?
Okay. Yes, it does. So in this packet on, as I go along and don't hit the right items, would you please alert me to that? So let's go ahead and do agenda item number 8 then, correct? So, okay, so agenda item number 8, Dr. Davey, you're assigned to that.
Thank you. And I will just say, in terms of quickness, there really is no update. The next meetings are set for the 30th of September. So the next meeting, I'll be able to provide some more insight. The only real update I have is that we've been first discussing all behavioral health and physical health codes as they relate to applicability to be provided on telephone only. That is not a video conference. That is not any sort of face-to-face. That is literally old school telephone call. And I will just report to this group that all codes related to behavior analysis, as they're written by AMA and CPT, require, this is the 9,000 codes, require face-to-face. And so therefore they were automatically excluded and would be excluded by CMS. Face-to-face as we move forward is not going to be an issue when we look at video conferencing, Zoom, or other media that we might be using to be able to reach individuals via telehealth. But a straight-up phone call is not appropriate for any of our CPT codes because of the terminology face-to-face. Other codes that got through have terminology such as direct contact, and that can be essentially viewed as a phone call. And so that's the only update I have now. As we get further into the process, be happy to provide additional updates.
All right, thank you, Dr. Davey. All right, next item, agenda item number 9, discussion consideration, possible action regarding recent updates from and correspondence with the Behavioral and Certification Board, Ms. Packer.
Yes, Mr. Chair. What I supplied to you in advance for this meeting was just an explanation from the BACB relative to how they supply information and what they don't supply specific to other credentialing and certification organizations. I'm sure I don't need to summarize that information for all of you. I'm confident you're all pretty familiar with those other organizations and what they offer or what they represent. But I'm supplying this to you because apparently it's something that has been, you know, the question has been raised, or there's been some discussion that has been held. Just for purposes of describing what we at Boer staff very, very infrequently hear, maybe from on the listserv that the BACB operates, you know, do any states accept these other organizations' certifications, or I think maybe now and then a credentialing organization may contact us with the question, and so we answer the question, and that's typically the end of the story. So we really don't as a jurisdiction, as a regulatory entity, this issue really hasn't presented to us in any significant way. But I'm happy to answer any questions about that before I move on to the next topic, the next update.
Go ahead and move on, Ms. Packman. Thank you.
Hearing none. So I did reach out to Misty Bloom to follow up with some of the supervision issues, the questions that have been raised by this committee in recent months. And I did have a meeting with Ms. Bloom and two members of the BACB staff who are in leadership roles for the certification program. And what I learned was that, as this committee has indicated, there is a requirement by the BACB that all supervisors be identified on a supervision contract. So there isn't a requirement that all the supervisors be signers of that contract, but they must be identified. The issue with that, as I learned, is that the only way really for the BACB to be enlightened to the fact that there is that information may be missing from a contract is if they perform an audit. So Ms. Bloom specifically asked me to bring any instances of possible noncompliance with this requirement to the BACB, at which time they would launch an audit. They've also asked for me to supply, you know, minutes of that discussion so that they have that upon which to initiate their audit. Any questions or comments to that new information or affirmation of probably what you knew to be true?
It is a wonderful affirmation, Ms. Packanon.
Thank you. So then in terms of also any other instances of when a supervisor is less than forthcoming about sharing information with our board, with our committee and our board to support an application, again, that needs to be forwarded to the BACB for purposes of an audit. So I did supply several instances in recent months of how, you know, we've had to go to extraordinary measures, you know, to subpoena supervisors, you know, request information multiple times. In some instances, we didn't have any jurisdiction over a reticent supervisor, and so an application had to be closed. And so what I heard from the BACB is that they cannot share that documentation with us, but the after the fact sort of audit piece is something that they're willing and prepared to do.
All right, thank you. Let's see.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Folks, so obviously we've already recommended that one of our concerns be sent over, but with the, you know, with the last conversation and again, seeing that they aren't really adding their supervisors to the contract, and I'm hopeful that they listen to us and take our feedback apart. But however, in the interim, would that be another good example of a time when we should be informing Misty that, hey, we've got this large agency that's providing all of this supervision, but it has been brought to our attention that the contracts, yeah, they check a box, but that there isn't really a contract that outlines the supervisors and their roles. And so would now be a good time for us to direct board staff to go ahead and relay that information to the BACB. Excellent. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Galvin, does that need to be in the form of a motion where the committee adopts a motion to direct staff to do that follow-up?
I would appreciate that. I think that's the best practice.
Okay.
Dr. Davis-Wilson, do you want to make a motion?
Yes, I move that we direct staff to bring the BACB up to date with our previous conversation with the Hume House on their contract requirements.
Do you have a second? I'll second. Any further discussion?
Dr. Stenhoff, I just want to make one comment. Like, I'm very confident that the process that the BACB will have to remediate this through the audit and through coaching and those sorts of things will be helpful. Like, I want it to be very clear that none of this is an intention to like be punitive or to put them in positions where we're ratting them out. Like, I think that the issue is that if they don't have that feedback, these things aren't getting addressed. And now we've had two back-to-back meetings where we have had individuals outright come and say, no, the BACB doesn't require that. And Arizona, you guys are being ridiculous. And the BACB saying, no, no, we do require it. And so it's this, you know, until those people get the feedback from the source themselves and then can educate others, like, I think the power that that providing coaching to like the agency we were just speaking to, the power that could serve to just systematically cross-train so many supervisors across the state about what the BACB expectations are is huge. So I just want to be clear that none of this is intended to be like a gotcha. And again, if I wasn't confident that the BACB would really look at this as coaching and training and things like that, as opposed to just, you know, revoking licenses, certifications, which I don't think they'll do. I'm confident that this is going to be a good opportunity for them. And I don't mean for it to sound like it's a witch hunt in any way, shape, or form.
Corrective peer support. Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. Any other comments on that? All right, so all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, motion carries. Just tapping on, are we doing gen item number 10?
Number 10 will take 30 seconds, if you'd like. I don't actually have anything. I don't have a show and tell for you, regrettably. So I know that the application is still under construction. I know that there's some challenges associated with tying the application to the various payment portals that all the participating agencies need to or maintain. So I haven't had any inquiries yet from behavior analysts who are interested in the registry. So again, if we build it, I don't know if they'll come, but I'm pretty confident that in the next few weeks, we will have the system, the intake system available. And it's time will tell when you receive your first or you see your first registry application on a future agenda. And we will guide you through that process, as that will obviously be a very new type of application to review.
All right. Great. Okay, thank you. Are we doing 11? I got it crossed out. Is that okay?
That's up to the committee. I mean, I'm prepared to, put those on the next meeting agenda or have a special meeting in the interim. I don't think we want to wait too much longer before I think we tackle these topics, but it's not imperative that we do them today. So it's up to the committee.
Okay. Committee, would you all want to address number 11 or do we want to table it for the next one?
Mr. Chair. I do have several meetings that I have pushed off to do my best to accommodate the length of this meeting. Okay. Should no one else have any issues, I would like to table them.
Okay. All right. So, Ms. Pacanon, can we table 11? Can we table 12 and 13?
11 and 12, yes, we can table those. What I would ask, though, is whether the committee wants to... potentially plan for an extensive November meeting, October meeting, or
let's have a special meeting and get these done so that our meetings are getting too long. So let's break some of this stuff off and knock it out, like a doodle poll, and see what people can do. Otherwise, we just keep pushing it off because we can't push the applications off.
Very good.
Okay, so Dr. Davis Wilson.
Sorry, I was just going to add the other problem with us not setting them up as special meetings is that when we combine it with these meetings, our stakeholders aren't always able to stay, and those topics are the ones that, per our own statute, the stakeholders should be a part of.
Okay, so do we need to make a motion to table 11, 12, and 13? Great. We'll do that, and then send out a request for times. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to agenda item number 14, suggestions for new items for future meetings.
We had one. Did staff note the one we had early on? Kind
of the one about the behavior analysts not being responsive and letting their supervisees hang. That one?
Yeah, it was 4 hours ago. I can't recall what I said. It was like at the very beginning of the meeting. Sorry, that brain cell was committed Harry Carey.
All right, so that was the one. Yeah, I know that was one we discussed. But I didn't, if I remember right, and like Dr. Davey, I'm not remembering back that long ago. But did we address that already to take action with those three? Okay. Is that the one you're referring to, Dr. Davey?
No, something early on. I'll think of it. I'll report staff.
Okay. Sounds good. Any other items? Okay. Hearing none, let's move on to agenda item number 15, adjournment. Do I have a motion for that?
Moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, discussion. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye, opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you, everybody.